have been a Gideon for 20 years now. So it's kind of an anniversary day today. In many other ways too, because this year the Canadian Gideons International are celebrating their 100th year of organization. And we are also celebrating our first year of organization. Now, you can figure that one out while I'll try and explain it a little bit later on. But we are experiencing a new birth this year that I am really, really excited about. But before I continue on, is there anyone present here who doesn't know who the Gideons are? Okay, then I will just continue on then. In Acts chapter 10, verse 36, it says, "This is the message that God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." The Gideons are a people of the book, this book. And we believe in the importance of this book, and we've certainly read testimony of that. Our purpose and reason for being is to get this written word out to as many souls throughout the world as it is possible to do in the remaining years that we have. We believe that this little book contains the little New Testament that we give out, the New Testament which contains the Psalms and the Proverbs, is the most precious book that anyone can ever have. For there is no other piece of literature that has ever been written that can offer as much as the Bible does. And I see that there are four main purposes or themes that the Bible tries to get across to us. And I'm going to speak on them just a little bit this morning. The first is, it's inspired by God Himself to reveal Himself. That's one of the main purposes of the Bible, is to reveal God, to show His creative power, His unsurpassed love, His mercy, and to bring glory to Himself. And the second purpose of the Bible, or the theme of it, is to reveal Jesus, His Son. By His miraculous conception and birth, by a virgin, He became a true man. It tells how He lived a sinless life, though tempted in every way, how He became the perfect sacrificial lamb. Taking on Himself the sins of the whole world, He went to the cross and died, thus paying the price that God demands for the forgiveness of sins. It tells us how that the grave could not hold Him, how He rose again on the third day and even took victory over death. The third purpose that I see in the Bible is that it's the book that tells us about man. It tells of his origin, tells of his purpose for living, his fall into sin, his need of a Savior. It tells us how we are to live our lives in obedience to God and how we are to serve both God and man. And then the fourth purpose that I see that the Bible is there for is to prepare us for heaven. It gives us glimpses of eternity, showing both the wonders of heaven and the terrors of hell. I want to look at a scripture today from the first book of Samuel, chapter 30. And if you have a Bible, you could turn to that. And just to kind of place this passage in its position, David, who wasn't king yet, but was anointed to be king, but hadn't taken his place, was being pursued by Saul, and he had so threatened his life And David, in his desire to want to be in God's will, refused to take Saul's life. So he fled to the Philippians, or to the Philistines, to find a refuge away from Saul's continuous pressure upon him. And so as we pick this scripture up, we will start reading at verse 17. David had been out at a battle, and he returned from that battle to find that the Amalekites had came in, and they had literally taken his whole camp. They had taken all his goods, all the spoils of war that they had gathered. They had kidnapped his wives and their children, and the wives of all of his men, and taken everything away. And can you imagine how devastated this man would be? I'm going to read verse 7 and 8 first before we begin down at 17. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, "Bring me the ephod." And Abiathar brought it to him, and David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them?" "Pursue them," he answered. "You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue." And then we drop to verse 17. And David fought them from dusk until evening of the next day, and none of them got away, except 400 men who rode off on camels and fled. David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing. Young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else they had taken. And David brought everything back. He took all the flocks and herds, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock, saying, "This is David's plunder." Then David came to the 200 men who had been too exhausted to follow him and were left behind at the Bezor ravine. And they came out to meet David and the people with him. And as David and his men approached, he greeted them. But all the evil men and troublemakers among David's followers said, "Because they did not go out with us, we will not share with them the plunder we recovered. However, each man may take his wife and children and go." And David replied, "No, my brothers. You must not do that with what the Lord has given us. He has protected us and handed over to us the forces that came against us. Who will listen to what you say? The share of the man who stayed with the supplies is the same as that of him who went down to battle. All will share alike." I would just like to apply these four purposes or themes of Scripture to these verses and show you how I myself at least get a whole lot more out of reading the Scripture when I apply these four purposes in there and see how God works things out. In verses 7, before that, when it mentioned in there, when they came to this ravine, 200 of the men were so tired that they couldn't cross through. They just were wore right out. And David said, "That's okay. You just stay here. You look after the supplies, and we will go on and fight the battle." And so when they came back. But anyway, can you imagine how devastated David would be to come back and find his total family, his total goods, everything had been taken and gone? And he didn't know whether he was going to be able to get them or not. Now David, I don't recall in the Scriptures any place where David's men went out to war and didn't win the battle. So David could very easily have been proud in his heart. He could have felt that he was so strong in himself and had such great abilities to lead his men into battle that he could just go out and get them. And I think probably if I'd have been in the same situation, there would probably have been a little bit of anger and a few things other that would have taken over, and I would have wanted to run after to get my wife back again. However, David didn't do that. The first thing he did was call for the priest to bring the ephod. Now, I'm not sure what that was, but it was a blanket they put out, and somehow with that they could hear the voice from God and know what direction he was. And so David knew that all the battles that he had won before were because he had sought God and his protection and his guidance and his ability to win those battles before he ever went out on them. And he wasn't changing in this in any way, shape, or form. And so I see here in David a very humble man, one of the ways that we are supposed to live in humility. No matter what the problem lies before us, no matter how disastrous it is, to take the same advice and seek the Lord for guidance and direction, for peace in our hearts. I also see that the Lord is a God of great power and authority and blessing. And how often when we have a problem and we seek the Lord, that we don't get a greater blessing out of it than we ever thought or even hoped that we could get. But just to show you the miraculous power that God performed there, David had 600 men in total, but he left 200 of them at the ravine. So there were only 400 of them that went across through this ravine. And when I look in verse 17, I see that there were 400 of the enemy who escaped on camels. Now, anything that I have understood of the battles that took place in the armies, there were always a much greater percentage of the army that was on foot that never was on horses or camels or provisions to ride. And so I can feasibly say that David probably was going up against an army of 1,500 people. I don't think I'm exaggerating on that. And he was going up against them with just 400 men who had just got back from a battle and then exhausted, had to make this march again and cross through this ravine, and so they would have been tired. I'm sure they were tired. But if you notice, they started the battle at dusk and they continued right through to the evening of the next day. That's awful close to 24 hours on my calendar. Don't you think God had a miraculous power in this? That he gave them strength beyond their ability. He gave them courage and abilities. And they were able to destroy a much greater army than they were because of the power and blessing of God upon them. And so that's one of the things that we need to see is when we read the scripture, is how that God is there. He wants to give us those powers and abilities to be overcomers, to be victorious in the things that we do. In verse 22, we read there, because they did not go out with us, we will not share with them the plunder we recovered. However, each man could take his wife and his children and go. Now, this is a real example of how we are not to live. These men were proud, they were greedy, they were selfish, and they were unloving. And so we know that from the scriptures that that's certainly not the way as these Christians are to live. But David sets the example for them in the very next verses. In verse 23, he says, "No, my brothers, you must not do that. You must not do that." with what the Lord has given us, for He has protected us and handed over the forces that came against us. And so I see another purpose in there of how we are to live, how we are to be generous and to realize that the things that we have to give really aren't ours anyway. They're a gift from God. And they have been given to us to bless them. There's another thing that gifting in there that I see is that whether we are in the forefront or whether we are just partakers in the back, or maybe we're the janitor, maybe we're the person who makes the coffee, or we're doing something that seems to be inconsistent or insignificant, and yet we are part of the team. And so just like the men that stayed back and looked after the supplies, there's a day coming when we're all going to share in the reward of what happened. And that day is going to happen when we go to heaven. And if any of you weren't here last Sunday and didn't hear the pastor speaking on rewards, you need to go to your church website and listen to his message from last Sunday. I think you will find it very enlightening. But I said all this to say that you guys are also going to share in what the rewards of the Gideons are going to get. Whether you have been one who sat in a prayer and prayed for us, whether you have contributed to us financially or helped us in any way, shape, or form, you will share in those same rewards that we as Gideons will get. And just to bring an example of that to you, because of the giving that the people of Canada gave, the Christian people of Canada gave, last year we were able to purchase and distribute 2,306,868 scriptures in Canada and around the world. Now those scriptures cost us last year $3 to print, to have published, to ship to wherever they went, wherever they were to go, and then we as Gideons did the distribution. We are still holding to that $3 figure, but I think that it will have to change with the way a lot of the costs of things are going up. But I want to encourage you, because of your giving, you have shared in that gift of being out those 2 million scriptures. It's exciting. And when you see God's word and that testimony changes lives, there really isn't any way that we can express to God in a greater way than to be in His work. I want to speak just a little bit about the new birth that I talked about. And I hope this doesn't become too confusing to you, because even as a Gideon, I found a little confusing in using these terms. The Canadian Gideons were formed, as I said, 100 years ago, came into being in order to become part of the Gideons International. Gideons International were about 110 years old now, and they began with just these three businessmen down in the States that had that desire to place a scripture in a lobby of every hotel, and that's where it began. But they set up their bylaws and constitution and everything, and when we joined them, we agreed to those things. Well, we have been running into some problems in these last years, not necessarily on their part, but because of our Canadian government and some of the laws that they have made. And the first one is, it contains to us our charitable status. And the way our finances were being shared with the Gideon's International, or the parent body, was not in accordance with the laws of charity laws of Canada. And so we were in real danger of not only losing our charity status, but we were could also be fined for an equal amount of money that we had turned over to them. Pretty serious business when you're in 2 million scriptures, that at $3, that's $6 million. And so that is one of the areas that we were having problems with. Another area was in our membership. The Gideon's International required that you not only believe in Jesus and belong to a church, but you must also be a businessman. They wouldn't accept people who were just laborers or not in control of a business. In Canada, we do not have that large a population to draw membership from. And so we were accepting believing Christians and men and women who did not qualify as business persons, but were able to meet all of the other qualifications and wanted to be Gideon. So that was another area that we were in conflict with them as far as the bylaws of membership were concerned. And the third part that I am going to mention about is the part of the auxiliary, or the ladies' part of the Gideon organization. And their bylaws restricted the participation of the auxiliary in many areas. They were not allowed to take part in any of the business meetings, and there were only a few places where they were allowed to distribute scriptures. And here again, under our bylaws and the way that we are set up, we are able to give these ladies a whole lot more freedom to give scriptures and to participate in the business of the Gideon. I'm not going to mention any more, although there were more things in there. The last December, the leaders of the Canadian Gideons and the Gideons International met, and though the parent body was sympathetic to us, they refused to be lenient in any way with regards to their constitution, and they said if we want to be part of them, we had to abide to all of their bylaws. So in January, we as Canadian Gideons had a national meeting, and we voted, and by a large majority, we decided to separate from the Gideons International. And so the birth that I'm talking about now is that the Canadian and Gideons International have just since January now to become autonomous in themselves, and we will do our own worldwide distributions and so on. And I'm really excited about that because it's opening up a lot more doors for us than what we had before. We are going to be able to fellowship with other groups like Wycliffe and many of the other organizations, the relief organizations that go out, and they have already, many of those organizations have already been contacting us and seeing if there's in some way we can fellowship together, and we'll be able to go out and minister to the whole man, not just to bring them the word as we are doing, or they to meet the physical needs. And so I'm excited about what the future can hold for us as Gideon. We have a really good camp here. I'm really excited about the men that I have in our camp. We are only six in number. When we started our camp, we weren't all members of this church, but now four of us are members of this congregation. Kevin and Philip and Cliff are the other members here. And then Gerald's father is also a member here, but he's a member of the camp, so we kind of got a relationship there also. But we're getting to be a bunch of old fogies, or some of us are anyway. There are four of us that use the number seven when we mention our name, our age, and some of us use it twice. So we're getting up there in age, and we certainly could use some new membership. This is a very worthy work that we do, and I just can't encourage you young men or young women enough to want to become excited about it. At the present time, we don't have an auxiliary, partly because of some of those restrictions that were on before. But maybe if we can get enough ladies interested, we could even begin to have an auxiliary in our camp. And that would really be exciting. How can you participate as a Gideon? Well, we have several ways. One of them is we conduct these church services, and we will be taking an offering after I'm done here. And that's one of the ways that you can participate in it. The other is we have a card program. And these cards we give to you free of charge. And there are great several varieties of them that we have now. But with each card, there is an envelope comes to send the card to the person you want. And there is also another envelope that is self-addressed and pre-stamped, so pre-postage paid on it. You can fill out the information that's on there, drop it in the post office, or you can, in the offering here now, you can mark on your envelope however, just put Gideon's on there, and the congregation will see that we get those funds. These cards we give out in packs, in home packs like this, and there are a few of them on my display table out in the back. They are free. If you want one, take it home. And if you run out, I have a sheet of paper on there that you can put your name and address on there, and we will see that you get a home pack of cards. We also have a greater variety than what is in here as well. In the last years, the Gideons have come out with some very interesting cards to meet most occasions. We just came out with a Mother's Day card. But we also have anniversary cards and wedding cards and birthday cards and congratulation cards. And all of these are free. On the back of this packet, there's an 8800 number that you can call, or on the donation envelope, that same number is on there. And you can order from the Gideons any cards that you would like to have, and they will be shipped to you free of charge. They are covered by us as Gideons, and we feel that this ministry is important enough that we need to make all availability to you. And so at this time, I think, Kevin, I'll turn the service back over to you.